I actually got into it because my brother started playing rugby, because my parents thought football was too rough, and so they naturally decided to go to rugby. And I started watching him playing, and I thought, that looks pretty fun. And I joined in as well, and I've been hooked ever since. My name is Sarah Marsh. I am a senior plant and environmental soil science major with a minor in plant breeding at Texas A&M University.
Thank you so much, Sarah, for sitting down with me today.
Thank you for having me.
What's one detail about you personally, professionally, that most people don't know and might be surprised to learn?
You might not know it to look at me, but I actually played rugby sevens through high school and college.
Oh, wow. That's pretty amazing. Because, yeah, to look at you, I wouldn't think that you were a rugby player.
I get that a lot.
Wow. So did playing rugby, I mean, that's a pretty rough sport. That's even rougher than football.
I think so. I actually got into it because my brother started playing rugby, because my parents thought football was too rough. And so they naturally decided to go to rugby. And I started watching him playing, and I thought, that looks pretty fun. And I joined in as well, and I've been hooked ever since.
Oh, wow. Have you ever been hurt or anything like that? Or?
Yes, I've actually sprained my jaw. I've torn a few tendons, and I have torn my ACL.
Wow. What is it about rugby that you like?
I think I appreciate the spirit of rugby. There's a certain tenacity in it. And everyone who participates respects that the game moves forward. It doesn't matter if the ball is dropped or if a person falls down. The goal is the same, and everyone wants to accomplish that same goal. And so we all keep moving forward. And then afterwards, after everyone's done beating each other up and wrestling over each other, it's always nice to get with the other team and go out and have dinner or hang out a little bit afterwards.
Sounds like there's some parallels there to plant breeding, being part of a team working together towards a common goal. Is that a fair assumption?
I definitely say so. I worked in sorghum breeding this past summer on a team of sorghum breeders, and there were several times where we had an issue in the lab or in the field or in our storage, and we all had to work together collaboratively to fix that problem. And it was important to not get flustered or frustrated, but to continue to realize that we all had the same goal and we wanted to work towards it.
You worked this past summer for Corteva AgriScience on sorghum. Can you tell me a little bit about that, what you researched and why it's important?
Yeah, of course. I was a field research intern for Corteva in Taft, Texas, which is in the coastal plains on the Gulf Coast. And sorghum is one of the predominant crops down there, so we were a sorghum breeding station. One of my projects this past summer was working on waxy endosperm sorghum. Waxy endosperm sorghum is different from normal sorghum because of the plant starch content. Normal cereals have a plant starch content of 20 to 30% amylose and 70 to 80% amylopectin, but waxy sorghum has less than 2% amylose. And so one of the focuses of my research was to find a way to phenotype and genotype waxy sorghum. And the reason we were doing this was because there is a huge market demand for waxy sorghum in China, because China produces baijiu, which is the world's most consumed liquor. We don't hear a lot about baijiu in the States, but there's a huge demand for sorghum in China. Additionally, waxy sorghum is more digestible to both monogastrics and ruminants, so it has incredible importance there in the world of food research.
That's pronounced baijiu?
Baijiu. B-A-I-J-U.
Most consumed liquor, I have actually never heard of that.
Most people haven't.
What is it? What is it made of?
It is traditionally made of sorghum, but you can also make baijiu out of rice and different types of cereals. And the difference between it is that unlike a lot of liquors that use sugar to help fermentation, it's a sorghum mash, and it can be stored for hundreds of years. They still have baijiu processing plants that were in operation 300 years ago, and they're still producing baijiu today.
Oh, wow, that is fascinating. Can you actually buy this like at a store or anything? I've never seen it.
I've never seen baijiu in the States. Everybody that has brought it back from China has said that it tastes terrible. It's a very strong liqueur.
That might be why it's not sold here, maybe.
I would think so. I think there's a market demand that does not exist in the United States.
You grew up on a family farm. Can you talk a little bit about that and where the family farm was, where you grew up, and how that led to your love of plant breeding?
Of course. So my family is seventh generation farmers in the Colusa County area in California, specifically based in Arbuckle, California. And so we've been there a while. We've been farming for a while, and I think it'd be accurate to say that farming's in my blood. The reason I think that my family farm has so impacted me in my journey in plant breeding is because from as long as I can remember, I have been involved in production agriculture, which is the end of the pipeline of plant breeding. Farmers are the ones who get the seeds that plant breeders work on, and they are the ones who have to make those seeds have a profit for their and their family's benefit. To me, growing up, seeing my parents put in so much work on the farm and try year after year, it made me really realize that I wanted to have a part in that. I wanted to help other producers, other growers, with their industry, with their livelihood. And to me, I felt like the best way I could have an impact was getting involved in the science behind it.
Yeah, well, it seems like after seven generations, like that's a lot of years for your family to be farming. So at this point, it seems like it's something that almost runs in your blood to just have that love of plant breeding and really helping the world to be a better place through creating new plant varieties. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's fascinating. You're a Borlaug scholar this year. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's actually why we're sitting down, because we're here in Pine Mountain, Georgia at the National Association of Plant Breeders annual meeting. It's the 9th annual meeting, biggest turnout the NAPB has ever had. How does being a Borlaug scholar help you in your life and moving your career forward?
Well, Mark, if you don't mind, I'd like to take you on a tangent before I answer that question.
I love tangents. That's totally fine.
Wonderful. I've been reading this book, 40 Chances, by Howard Buffett recently. And so Mr. Buffett is a farmer. That is his profession. That is what he does. The title, 40 Chances, refers to the idea that from the beginning of his or her career to the end, a farmer has 40 growing seasons, about that, to plant a crop, grow it, and make a profit or a loss, depending on the year. Mr. Buffett elaborates on this theory to the rest of life. He says that a person only has about 40 chances in his or her career to make a difference. When I think about the rest of my career and how it will move forward, I like to think that being a Borlaug scholar would have an impact on my 40 chances, would allow me to make connections here at this meeting and meet all these people who are experts in their field and who have done so many incredible things. And having that experience would allow me to maximize the 40 chances, or however many chances I have, to make a difference in the world.
Well, 40 chances. You know, if you can really boil it down to a number like that, then in some ways that would make your work a lot easier, but in other ways maybe make it more of a challenge, because you realize that, wow, like a lifetime really isn't that long. I mean, life moves so fast. The older I get, the faster time seems to go. So having 40 chances to do something really, that might seem like a lot, but it kind of puts it in perspective that, wow, like I don't have an infinite amount of time to do this, so I kind of have to work hard and really do my best to make a difference.
I agree. I feel the same way. Although our lives are the longest things we have, it really puts it in perspective that we've only got a finite amount of time to go out in the world and be there.
you've been, as a Borlaug scholar, you've been paired with a mentor, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me who your mentor is and what it's been like so far to work with him or her? You probably haven't had a chance to work with him or her that much yet, but what's that experience been like?
Of course. My mentor is Dr. Jane Deaver, and she works in cotton breeding up in Lubbock, Texas. And we haven't had a lot of interaction, but so far she has been extremely helpful, and she's been introducing me to people left and right at this conference. She's told me a lot about her career, and it's honestly inspiring to see how much she's accomplished in her lifetime, because she's done it all. She's done research, she's done industry, and I'm really looking forward to getting to know her better and working with her in this coming year.
Thanks so much for sitting down with me.
Of course, thank you for having me.